And if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word, Luke chapter 7. Let's see what the Lord has to say through our good friend Dr. Luke. Starting with verse 11 to verse 17. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding regions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning you've given us, for the pot of faith afterwards, because I'm already hungry, Lord. And but most of all for your word that feeds our soul, our spirit. We just ask, Holy Spirit, to illuminate your word and let us be not only hearers of the word, but doers. In Jesus' name, we all say, Amen. Please be seated. Well, as I shared with you, for the last 3 years, I've been blessed to be a part of Krista Benliga's life, a part of this family's life, which was something I never expected. And like I said, I was adopted by Krista Benliga. They're the one that took me in. They're the one that reached out and made me a part of the family. And like I said, for the last 3 years, I've become a dad for them. It's really boggling when the school, the village, knows me as Krista Benliga's dad. I mean, when Krista gets in trouble, gets the phone call from the principal, you know. Never had that before, you know. And it's funny because the mom and I were not in any romantic relationship at all, where it's strictly platonic. But when I go there, we sit down and we discuss about what we need to do for this family. And I think she likes that there's now a man in the house to go toe-to-toe with her son, because when I first came back to Latvia, he was 12 years old, and he was kind of ornery, kind of mischievous. How many know what it's like to have a mischievous son on your hands? You know, they do things you've told them not to do, but they still do it anyway, and, you know, and they start getting a little independent, you know. And so now here was a man who would go right up to him and say, "Do that again and watch what happens," you know. And he would say, "Okay," and then he found out what happened, you know, and he realized, oh, you really do put boundaries up, you know. And so whenever I'm there early in the morning, I help Maya get the kids up. How many parents love doing that, getting your kids up for school? Isn't it fun? Because I'll tell you, sometimes, as you know, as parents, it's not easy getting those kids up from bed. When I go and wake up Christopher, I'm greeted with this look that can kill if he could. I'll say, "Christoph, you know, it's time to get up. It's morning time." And he'll give me this look as though he can kill me. If he would, he could. And then he'll just do this, covers over his head, and he'll turn. Then I'll go to my daughter's room. "Liga, it's time to get up." Covers over her head, you know, and laughing, something they mumble that they know I can't understand. So who knows what they're saying, you know. And how many parents go through that routine in the morning? You know, you get the look, you know, the whatever. Not with my family. When I was growing up, when my mom said get up, you got up or you got spanked. So, you know. And in today's reading, we read about this widow's son who was dead, but Jesus brought back to life. He woke him up, you might say. The Bible says that as Jesus was coming to the village of Nain, a funeral procession was coming out. A large crowd followed this woman. Now, understand, in the Middle East culture, they showed their emotions. Now, as Americans, when we have a funeral, we're kind of quiet. We dab the eyes. We might boo-hoo. We might, you know, cry a little bit loud. Latvians, they're very stoic people. I get better reception from the wall than sometimes the Latvians. I mean, you know, as Americans, we have Walmart greeters, right? Not Latvians. They don't greet you, you know. It's weird going to Latvia store and they just look at you and they sound rough when they say, you know, $4.99, you know. And we're in Walmart, "That's $4.99, please," you know. It's so different. Now, Middle East culture, when they have a funeral, they have a funeral. I mean, you can hear that from now. Imagine several people doing that when they're wailing. Now, remember, Jesus is coming toward this village, and surely he heard that sound coming from the village. Now, if I didn't wake you up now, hopefully you're awake now, okay? Yeah, it's time to get up, you know. So imagine Jesus is coming with a crowd that followed him, and here he hears this crowd wailing with this mother, a widow who lost her son. You have to understand, in Bible times, women were considered second-class citizen as well as or property. See, it was the husband's job to take care of the wife. If the husband died, that responsibility fell on the son. She does not have either now. She lost everything, her husband and her son. You might say that she lost her pillar. She might say that she lost her security. She lost her home. She lost her income. She lost her trust. For some of you, you've experienced loss this year. The loss of a loved one. The loss of a job. The loss of your health. And yet, it's amazing when Jesus comes to her, he says to her, "Woman, do not weep." It's always amazing to me that Jesus always knows the right word to say to us, doesn't he? When the disciples were fighting the storm in the sea, Jesus gets up and tells the sea, "Peace, be still." For some of you, he's saying that who has a storm going on in their life. He says to you, "Peace, be still." Or when the disciples another time were sailing, and again they were in a storm, and Jesus came out to them on the water, and they thought he was a ghost. He told them, "Do not fear, it is I." Maybe for some of you, you're in a life situation. Your life is in a storm and you feel like you're being tossed and turned. And the Lord is saying to you, "Do not fear. I am here." Or for those who need a direction in life, the Lord's word for you is, "Come, follow me, and I will lead you. I will guide you." You know, when this person was dead, when this woman lost her son, I think it's unbearable. I've heard yesterday a good friend of mine buried his mom who died of cancer. But I've heard it is not easy for a parent to bury a child. The pain is just, you can't even put words to it. I have a good friend of mine who lost their son years ago. And though it's been sent, you know, years, she said that at times the pain is just, you just don't know what to do with it because it's there. But so is the Lord. See, the Bible says that when Jesus saw this woman, he was moved with compassion for her. We need to keep in mind that this is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with you. If you want to get a glimpse of God, just look at the life of Jesus Christ, because Jesus reflects God. He is the reflection of God's heart. Another translation says his heart went out for her. Do you realize the Lord's heart goes out for you? Do you realize the Lord is aware of your situation that you're in right now? Do you realize the Lord is thinking about you? Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing, I am a friend of God. Do you realize the Lord does see the situation you're in, does see the broken heart? The Bible says the Lord is near to those with a broken heart. And he knows that some of you in this room, your hearts are heavy and broken and sad. He's fully aware. He is with you. He is Emmanuel. God is with you in whatever situation you're in. So he goes to the open coffin, touches the body of this young man and says to him, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Now, this is one of three people we read about where Jesus raised from the dead. We read about the young 12-year-old girl. We read about Lazarus. And we read about this young man. Now, have you ever noticed, Bible students, that Jesus always talked to that person? He would say, "Little girl, I say to you, arise. Young man, I say to you, arise. Lazarus, come forth." Did you ever wonder why he never just said, "Arise"? or get up? I heard this once, and it really made me think. If Jesus was just to say, arise, every dead person would arose. Yeah, that's what I said. If Jesus was just to say, arise, wake up, come forth, every dead person would have risen up. And you're thinking, really? Yeah, really. You see, he told Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes me shall live though he dies. And I still believe that God can bring back the dead if he so chooses. I've heard missionary friends of mine in different countries who have seen miracles that in America we try to find an answer to. You know, it's amazing what seminaries are now teaching pastors. Oh, well, you know, the miracles of Jesus, they were added later because, you know, he really didn't do that. In fact, I read an article of this one particular pastor who was a seminarian pastor here in the States who went down to Africa and was teaching these African pastors why the miracles of Jesus didn't happen, you know, that it was just scientifically impossible. And he was shocked as the whole class got up and left him. Because he said, well, that didn't happen in America. And so the leader of that school came to him and says, why do you not believe? Don't you believe that Jesus is God? Well, of course we do. It's theologically correct that Jesus is God. Then how come your God's too small? You see, my God can do whatever he wants. He's the one that spoke things into existence. And if he wants to change whatever, he has the right to change whatever. Your God is science. But my God made science, and he can change it. See, nothing's impossible with him. So just because maybe we may not believe that God can do so doesn't mean he has to listen to us or our unbelief, because he can do whatever he wants. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But not only can he bring back the dead or do miraculous, I have a friend of mine who is serving in Ireland. He's a Lutheran pastor in Ireland who tells us he sees the second chapter of Acts happen in Ireland. He comes back to Latvia, says, I don't know what idiot told us in seminary that miracles stopped at the apostolic age, because I'm watching them in Ireland. And this is not Africa. This is Ireland. And so he's now so pro-miracle. I mean, he's going back to these Lutheran churches talking about, you know, the Acts, it still happens, you know. We just need to believe, you know. So it says that the young man rose from the grave, rose from the dead, sat up and began to talk. Now, I don't know about you, but I would wonder, what is he talking about? Because if I was the one risen from the grave, I would be talking nonstop, you know. Really, you know, I mean, I'd probably tell you what I saw, what was going on, or whatever. So here's Jesus. He raises this person from the grave. He starts talking. People begin to glorify God. And like I said, Jesus is still in the business of raising people up. Let's talk about spiritually. You know, the Bible says that we were dead because of our sinful nature. And we were not God's people, but God let Christ make us alive when he forgave our sins. Some of you have heard the good news about new life in Jesus Christ. You've heard the voice of the Lord say to you in your heart, arise, get up, it's time to wake up, come out of the darkness of sin and into the light of Christ. You've heard about the precious blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away your sins and make you clean before the Lord. You've heard that anyone living in Christ, they are a new creation. The old life has passed away and a new life has begun. The Bible says, wake up you who are sleeping, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. But there are some of you in this place, in this room, who are like my children. You've heard the voice of Jesus through the Word of God Sunday after Sunday, but like my children, you pull the covers over your heart and prefer to sleep in the dark. You prefer to continue to live a life of sin, which will separate you from God's love. The Bible says that it is your sin, it is my sin, it is our sin that separates us from God. He turns away from both you and I when he sees sin. See, God is holy and just. I've been in many churches that they got one part of God down. He's good, he's loving, and he's forgiving, and that's where they center on. But they made God a gooey God. You know what that means? Gooey. How many ever had something gooey? It gets in your mouth, you're like, you know, it's just too gooey. It's too rich, like cotton candy or whatever. Or they make Jesus jello Jesus. He's just so bubbly and, you know, they got, oh, he's so good, he's so loving, he's forgiving. Yes, he is. But let's not forget he's also holy and just and righteous. You can't separate the two. You have to teach the whole counsel of God. And the whole counsel of God says, yes, he's holy and just and righteous and loving and forgiving, rich in mercy, full of grace. You have to present both because he is both still to this day. He didn't trade one for the other. He's still the same. But for those of us who choose to ignore hearing that voice and coming into the light of Christ, there's a warning for you. The Bible says both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Some of you have been hearing his voice to follow him with all your heart. Some of you have one foot in the Word and one foot in the world. You can't live both. You can't. I've tried. It doesn't work. You have to choose one or the other. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. The Lord says to us, awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light to come out of the darkness into his light. You know, outside the walls of this church, there are a lot of people living in darkness. You know, since being in Latvia for the last 3 years, whenever I look at America's news, I am amazed. And I was even asking Pastor Carty this. I said, is it just me, or have in the last 4 years, have not our country gone down really fast, or is that just me thinking this? And I'm living on the other side of the world. I mean, I'm not here. I'm not living in the America scene. I'm watching it from an outside point of view. And I was telling my mom, I said, what's happened? It's like everything has changed dramatically. Wrong has become right. Right has become wrong. Didn't it say that in God's word in the last day that would happen? I mean, how can they say God's word is not true when something that was written 2,000 years ago is unfolding in front of our eyes? We're told to wake up and to seize the day, to seize the moment, to make this opportune time to share the gospel. Because there's many people sleeping in darkness. And because of Jesus Christ, if we've opened our hearts to Christ, we're now his lights to shine in the darkness. In closing, I would like to pray for you. For some of you, you can relate to this widow. For some of you, the loss of a loved one has been unbearable. At times, you're just crying. You can be walking and all of a sudden you're just crying because the grieving is still going on. The word of the Lord for you is he's the God of all comforts who will comfort your heart. For others, you've lost your job. You've lost your security, your income. You've been looking for work and to no avail. But yet the Lord says to you, do not worry what you need, for your Father in heaven already knows what you need. You are more valuable than the birds of the air. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The word for you is, he is your provider. For those who feel lost, bewildered, wondering what's going on, maybe your whole world has been shifted and changed. In 1 second, you went this way. The next moment, the world that you know is no longer the same. And you feel like you're tossed and out there in the sea. The word of the Lord for you is, he is your shelter who will shelter you in that storm. He is the rock of ages that you can hide yourself in. Maybe for some of you, you're like the dead person. Although physically you're alive, but spiritually you are dead. For some of you, at one time you had a very tight walk with the Lord, but something has come in the way, blocking heaven's flow to your heart. And the Lord's word for you is, come back home. Stop being the prodigal son. Come back home. And for some of you, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about Jesus Christ. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that God so loved you that he gave his one and only son for you. And the word of the Lord for you is, repent, believe, and watch what he can do in your life. Let's pray. Would you just please stand with me? Lord, thank you so much for the love you've shown us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for waking many of us from the life of sin into a life in Christ, for making us new creation in you. Thank you, Lord, for being our comforter who comforts us. Thank you for being our provider who provides for us, our shelter who shelters us, for being the way, the truth, and the life that leads and guides and directs us, for being our Redeemer who has forgiven us of our sins. Lord God, we thank you again for this fellowship, for Pastor Cardi and for Pat, for Pastor Bill, for the work you've been doing here in Macedonia for many years. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless and lead this fellowship as it grows in your word and as it lives the word in action to people outside the walls of this church. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for forgiving us, for saving us, and for one day coming back for us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.